بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So today is lesson number 39 in our series on the commentary on أعلام السنة المنشورة of Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakimi rahimahullah. In the previous lesson we were looking at belief in the angels and we finished looking at question number 76, the question and answer to number 76, and the question was, mention some of the types of angels and what they have been entrusted with. So the Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakimi mentioned a list of maybe a dozen or more types of angels and their functions. And from them are those entrusted with revelation, such as Jibreel, alayhi salam. Others are entrusted with the affairs to do with provision, such as rain, that is Mikael. Others are entrusted with blowing the horn for the resurrection, Israfil. And there are others that take the souls at death, others that record the actions of the servants, others that protect the slaves of Allah from behind them and, you know, in front of them, and others which are entrusted with paradise and its bliss, and there are others who are entrusted with hellfire, such as Malik and his helpers, and then there are those who carry the throne and those who are entrusted with the fetus in the womb and forming the fetus and writing what is decreed for it. And then there are those angels who pursue the gatherings of remembrance where Allah is mentioned. And there are other types as well. So this was where we finished in the previous lesson. And we're going to read some commentary from Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh, Hafizahullah, commenting upon the angels in general. So the Sheikh says that the angels are in ranks and levels. Al-Malaikatu darajatun wa tabaqat. The angels are in ranks and levels. And the greatest of them in rank are the three whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam specifically mentioned in his supplication. A supplication which he made during Salatul Layl, during the night prayer. And he used to call upon Allah Azza wa Jal by making the following dua: Allahumma, Allahumma, Rabbi Jibreel, Allahumma Rabba Jibreel, wa Mikael, wa Israfil, Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, Alim al-ghaybi wal-shahada, Anta tahkum bayna ibadik fima kanu فيه يختلفون اللهم اهدني فيما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك فإنك تهدي إلى صراط مستقيم. So this supplication, the translation of which is, O Allah, the Lord of Jibreel, Mikael, and Israfil, the originator of the heavens and the earth, the knower of the unseen and the seen, or the hidden and the unseen, you judge between your servants wherein they differed, wherein they used to differ. O Allah, guide me to that in which it is differed over regarding the truth by your permission. For indeed, you guide to the straight path. So this supplication, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to mention or used to make in the night prayer, and within it is a mention of the Lord of Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil. So these three have been textually stated because of their status and because of their position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned in the previous lesson, they are the most virtuous, the most excellent. And the reason, or one of the reasons, or one of the explanations for that is that all of them are connected to the different types of life, al-hayat. So Jibreel alayhi salam, he is muwakkal bi hayati al-qulub. He is entrusted with the life of the hearts, And this is revelation which descends from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see in Surah An-Nahl, قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ بِالْحَقِّ. Say that it is brought down by رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ, the sanctified spirit, in this case it is Jibreel alayhi salam, from your Lord with the truth. So Jibreel brings down revelation that gives life to the hearts. As for Mika'il, then he is muwakkal bi amri hayat al-insan, yani wasa'il hayat al-insan wal hayawan min al-matar wal nabat wal riyah وما أشبه ذلك مما فيه حياته مما فيه حياته واستقامة أمره. So as for Mika'il, he is entrusted with the life, meaning the life of the bodies of men, meaning the means, all the various means by which man maintains his life, and likewise the animals. And so this includes things like the rain, the vegetation, the winds, and whatever is resembles or is connected to that, upon which the life of humans depends, and you know, which they need in order to remain upright in their worldly bodily affairs. So this is another type of life. There is the life of the hearts, and here there is the life of the bodies. And as for Israfil, أما إسرافيل فهو المتوكل بالنفخ في الصور. He is entrusted with blowing in the horn, since that will resurrect, or it signals the resurrection and the revival, or returning the people back to life, after which there will be no death. So we can see that all of these three, in one way or another, they are connected to the different types of life. And for that reason, they became they are the chief of the angels. They are the chiefs of the angels, or the leaders of the angels, and they are the akabir al malaika, like they are the senior ones from among the angels. Now, beyond that, they are in levels, as we said, tabaqat. They are in levels and ranks in their excellence and how near they are to their Lord, to Allah. And that's why their functions and their duties, they also differ depending upon, you know, what they've been entrusted with. And now when we use the word entrusted here, the word tawkil, because the angel is muwakkal, meaning that Allah has entrusted that angel, or has designated that angel to do that particular function. And by way of example, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ. Say, the angel of death will take your souls, the one which has been وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ, who has been entrusted over that, you know, with respect to you. So, in other words, the angel of death in this case, and all the angels in general, they are entrusted, and even the angels themselves, they have other angels who are under his command. And whatever he commands them, whatever he prohibits them, they follow him. And an example, or some examples of that, would be the angel of death itself. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ. Right, until when death comes to one of you, our messengers take him, meaning take his soul, and they do not fall short. So he mentioned rusul in plural. So these are the helpers and the assistants of the angel of death. And similarly, we see in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the 56th chapter, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And we are closer to him than you, but you do not see. Now this is a reference to the angels of death. The angels of death. Now they are entrusted to do that, to do that function. And so Allah is saying that we, meaning by way of our angels, are closer to him, meaning to the dying person, than you are. But you do not see. Meaning that you do not see the angels that are taking the soul of that person. Now, also we see that in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal has given different names or different descriptions to the angels who have been, for example, entrusted with the wind. And they are the soldiers, whom Junud Mikail alayhi salam. Right? So they are the soldiers or the assistants or the helpers of Mikail, who is the angel who is in charge of the life of the bodies, everything pertaining to that. And from that is the winds. So in the Quran we see there are certain ayat, such as what we read in Surah Al-Mursalat, Surah 77. وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفًا وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرًا فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقًا. Right, so these ayat which are in certain surahs of the Quran, the general meaning, وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفًا, those which are sent in succession and which, you know, spread and which separate, وَالصَّافَاتِ صَفًّا, those which are arranged in ranks upon ranks. These ayat, according to interpretations, they are a reference to the angels. And some scholars say that this is a reference to the winds that are sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal mursalati urfa, and, you know, the following verses. But other group of scholars from the companions, they said it's a reference to the angels. And in reality, the Shaykh says that these two meanings are close. Why? Because although we physically, we see, like we experience the winds, and we think that is a cause, but behind the winds is another cause, which are the angels, right? So the angels actually cause the wind, something that we do not see, and we only see the effect of their action, which we then presume to be a cause, right? So that's why if you look at when they speak about the weather and they say, you know, there's a high pressure and low pressure and this atmosphere and that atmosphere and this will cause the winds and this. And so really what we are seeing is the effect of something hidden, which is causing the winds. And then when we see the winds and whatever's associated with that, of the high pressure, the low pressure, we are thinking that to be the actual sabab, the actual means. But it's not really the means, it's really the effect of something else. And so the Shaykh is saying that, so there is the true and real originating cause behind these phenomena. In this case, the example here being the wind, and in this case it is the angels, through means that we do not really understand them because we cannot see. Right? But this is what the people of disbelief, this is what they will say. They will say that there's an area of, you know, high pressure over North Europe and there's an area of low pressure here. This will mean that this will bring rain or wind or, you know, heat or cold or whatever it might be. And they treat these things to be the actual originating causes. But they are not the originating causes. They are just causes which are in a chain of causes, but they are not the very first. Like, obviously the first originating cause is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, he created his creation with ways and means, and within those ways and means, at the beginning, there are angels which are performing these functions, and we do not see that realm. We don't see that, you know, we don't see those processes because it's outside of our abilities. So, therefore, the angels, the point being to conclude, the angels, Allah has entrusted them or designated them to, you know, for the operation of His kingdom, of His dominion. And it is not because He is in need of them, but this is how Allah has created His creation. Right? Allah is not in need of anything in His creation, but He made His creation to function in that way. So within the creation, there are angels who only obey His command. They are angelic. They do not disobey Him. They cannot disobey Him, and they only do what He commanded. And so among them are various types, as we have seen. They bring down revelation. They take the souls upon death. They write down the deeds of men, and so on and so forth. And then from the angels are those which are involved in the physical aspects, the running of the creation in ways that we do not see and we cannot, you know, we cannot observe. And but Allah made it like that, right? He made there to be angels who do that and run His creation in that way. Not that He is in need, or that He's being aided, or that He is being assisted by the angels. This is wrong. And there are amongst the people of religions or past religions who deviated and disbelieved in this arena, and they claimed that the angels are the daughters of Allah or the sons of Allah, and they worship some of the angels, thinking that the worshipping them brings them benefits and so on and so forth. And this is disbelief. This is shirk and disbelief. The angels are Allah's servants and slaves. They only obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are engaged in His worship or other things that He has commanded them to do. Right, so this brings us to the end of our discussion on the angels. The next question brings us into the topic of the books. So we are going through the six pillars of Iman: belief in Allah, which we completed before, belief in the angels, which we've completed now, and next is belief in the books. So first of all, question number 77, ما دليل الإيمان بالكتب. Now, what is the evidence of having faith in books, in scripture, in revealed books? What is the proof? So once again, we go to the Quran, and we see clearly that the Quran obligates us to believe in past books. The Shaykh says, in answering this question, Shaykh Hafiz al-Hakimi rahimahullah, أدلته كثيرة, that the evidences for this are very many. منها قوله تعالى, from it is the speech of the exalted, يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا بالله ورسوله والكتاب الذي نزل على رسوله والكتاب الذي أنزل من قبل. O you who believe in Allah and His Messenger and the book which He revealed upon His Messenger and the book which He revealed before. The book here meaning like in a general sense. So when in the Quran, when the word Al-Kitab is used, Al-Kitab can mean scripture in general, and it covers all revelation that Allah revealed. And then the book can mean the specific book that was revealed to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or the past messengers. Also, وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, another ayah, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. Say, we believe in Allah and what He revealed to us, and what He revealed to Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Ya'qub, wal Asbat, al Asbat meaning the 12 sons of Ya'qub, and what was given to Musa and Isa, and what the prophets were given from their Lord, we do not distinguish between any one of them. And many other ayat, غيرها كثيرة, many other verses, ويكفي في ذلك قوله تعالى. So there are many other verses, and this ayah suffices when Allah says, وقل آمنت بما أنزل الله من كتاب. Say I believe on in whatever Allah revealed of the book, of the book, of any book, min kitab, of any book. So this shows that this is a generalized belief that Muslims have in all previous scriptures, that these scriptures were sent to prior messengers and prior messengers, and we believe in all of them without distinguishing between any one of them. Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah, he says that these books which Allah revealed, we have not been, all of them have not reached us, right? We only have knowledge of some of them, and they are maybe four or five which are mentioned. For example, the Quran, the Torah, the Injil, the Zabur to David, Dawood, and the scrolls of Ibrahim, and likewise the scrolls of Musa. So these are the ones that have been specifically mentioned in the Quran. However, we are obligated to believe that Allah has books and He has messengers which He did not name in the Quran, And in the hadith, it is mentioned that there were 315 messengers. And in fact, there's an authentic hadith which is declared authentic by Sheikh Al-Bani rahimahullah in his comments on Mishkat al-Masabih. And in this hadith, it's mentioned from the hadith of Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu, from Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, who said that I said, O Messenger of Allah, how many is the number of the prophets? And he said, مِئَةُ أَلْفٍ وَأَرْبَعَةُ وَأَرْبَعَةُ وَعِشْرُونَ أَلْفًا. He said, 124,000. وَالرُّسُلُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ 315 جَمَّا غَفِيرًا. And he said, and as for the messengers among them, then they are 315. So, in the Quran, there have been mentioned 25 prophets and messengers in the Quran. And in Surah Al-An'am, in the 6th chapter of the Quran, 18 are mentioned together. And the rest are mentioned in different places in different other places in the Quran, such as Adam and Hud and Salih and Shu'aib and Idris and Dhul Kifl and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, and likewise, he goes on to say that as for the books, then it is said that there were 104 books, and Allah knows best. So that's the speech of Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah. And then Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, speaking about the books, al-kutub is the plural of kitab, and kitab meaning that which is maktub, meaning that which is written, that which is written. And what is meant by the books is the books that Allah the Exalted, which He sent to His messengers out of mercy to His creation. So these books are sent as a mercy and as a as guidance, rahmatan wa hidayatan lahum, so that they can attain happiness in the life of this world and the hereafter. Now this belief in these books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they comprise four things. So when we say that we are obligated to have iman in Allah, then having iman in the books of Allah, then having iman in the books of Allah comprises the following four things. First of all, we believe that it is Allah, that they are revealed from Allah, they are sent by Allah in truth, right? They are not from men, they are not the products of men or anyone else, that they are from Allah, they are sent down by Allah, and they are from Allah. Secondly, that we believe in whatever Allah has specifically mentioned of the names of these books, that we believe in it with its name. So we believe the Quran was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Torah was revealed upon Musa alayhi salam, the Injil was revealed upon Isa alayhi salam, and the Zabur upon Dawood alayhi salam. And then we have others, you know, we have the scrolls, the Suhuf of Ibrahim, and likewise the Suhuf of Musa, the scrolls of Musa. So we believe in whatever is specifically mentioned, specifically by its name, because that is a detail that Allah Azza wa Jal has given to us. The third aspect of it is tasdeeq ma sahha min ikhbariha, ma sahha min akhbariha, كأخبار القرآن وأخبار ما لم يبدل أو يحرف من الكتب السابقة. So we believe in that which is, you know, we believe in all of the reports and the information that have come in these books. We believe in them which are authentic, such as all of the reports of the Quran, because the Quran, all of it is authentic, and the reports of that which has not been altered or distorted in the previous books. And the fourth part of believing in the books, or the fourth aspect of believing in the books revealed by Allah, al-amal bi ahkami ma lam yunsakh minha wal-ridha wal-taslim bihi, which is to act upon whatever rulings and laws and judgments have not been abrogated, and to be pleased and to submit to all of that, irrespective of whether we understand it, understand the wisdom, or we do not understand the wisdom. Right? So this is the fourth part of belief in the books, which is to act upon them, and to act upon all the commands, and to act upon all the prohibitions, irrespective of whether we know the wisdom, the reason or the wisdom, or we don't know the reason or the wisdom. It's not a condition that we must understand the wisdom or the wisdoms behind every law, every command, every prohibition before we act upon that. No. Yes, in some cases, the wisdom behind the law is mentioned, or it is apparent and clear. And in other cases, the wisdom might be in the knowledge of the learned scholars because of their scholarship and study and investigation, and other you know, to other than them, it might not be apparent or might not be clear. It's not a condition, because the law itself is a just law, it is a beneficial law, it is a law that you know, protects the interests of mankind. So whether you understand that or not understand that, it's irrespective. You know, you have to act and abide by that. But we are encouraged, obviously, to gain comprehension in the religion, so that we have certainty in that what we do of commands and prohibitions and all the other affairs, that we have certainty in that. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said in the Quran, establishing the Quran abrogates all previous scriptures, right? So when we say, for example, that belief in the books means to act upon anything that has not been abrogated from the previous books, but the Quran, when Allah sent the Quran, it brought all the truth and it confirmed laws from previous scriptures which are the same as our laws, or laws which have not been, you know, which have not been abrogated, and the Quran confirms them. So the Shaykh mentions an ayah, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمُحَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ. We revealed to you the book in truth, confirming that scripture which came before it. And وَمُحَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ. Use this word, مُحَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ, which means something which safeguards it or is a hakiman, it judges over it, meaning that it distinguishes what is right from what is wrong, what is abrogated from what is not abrogated, what is truth from falsehood. So it is like a hakim, like a judge over it. Hakiman alihi. So for that reason, the Shaykh says, فَلَا يَجُوزُ الْعَمَلُ بِأَيِّ حُكْمٍ مِنْ أَحْكَامِ الْكُتِبِ السَّابِقَةِ إِلَّا مَا صَحَّ مِنْهَا وَأَقَرَّهُ الْقُرْآنِ. So it's not permissible to act upon any prior law from any prior scripture, except what is authentic, we know it hasn't undergone change, and the Qur'an affirms it, corroborates it. The Shaykh then goes on to say that belief, so these are the four aspects as to how you establish your belief in the books. And then he goes on to say that belief in the books has numerous benefits, has numerous fruits. From them is al-ilm bi'inayati Allah ta'ala bi'ibadihi haythu anzala lakum حيث أنزل لكل قوم كتابا يهديهم به. Knowledge that Allah has concern for His servants, in that He revealed for every nation, every people, a book by which they are guided. Secondly, العلم بحكمة الله تعالى في شرعه حيث شرع لكل قوم ما يناسب أحوالهم كما قال الله تعالى لِكُلِّ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. Second fruit, benefit, is knowledge of the wisdom of Allah, the Exalted, in His legislation. Because He legislated for every people that which is suited to them and to their circumstances. As Allah, the Exalted, said, to everyone, to each one among you, we gave you a shir'a, a law, a legislation, and a minhaj, and a way. Meaning here that every nation in every time, or different nations in different times, they were given a law specific and suited to them in that time, in that era. And this is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in doing so. Because throughout the history of mankind, there have been, there are different circumstances and situations, different realities, and for that reason, the laws, the legislations have differed from nation to nation, even if the underlying belief in Allah, His Tawheed, His names, His attributes, His qadr, His angels, His books, all of that is the same. All the Prophet's messengers had exactly the same belief, but the law or the legislation was different for different times. And as for the sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then obviously this is for the whole of mankind, and so whatever is halal, and will never change. Whatever is haram and will never change. Whatever it deems to be tayyib, wholesome, good, pure, will remain so. And whatever is khabith, meaning vile, repugnant, will remain so. And so on and so forth. So this is the sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal, which He revealed for the whole of mankind to abide, because in it is justice, al-qist, and it is the mizan, the balance of justice. And so that is suited for the whole of mankind. And thirdly, the third benefit of belief in the books is to be grateful for the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is a ni'mah. As some of the scholars have mentioned, that Allah sending down the books, sending down revelation, is more worthy and greater than Him sending down the rain. Because sending down the rain gives life to the bodies, whereas sending down revelation gives life to the hearts. All right, and so this is from the greatest of the bounties and favors of Allah, more than the bounty of the rain and the provision and all the other things that we enjoy, by which life is sustained and by which enjoyment is gained. The greatest ni'mah, the greatest bounty and blessing is the ni'mah of revelation, because revelation takes us out of the darknesses into light and shows us that what is the truth and what is wholesome and good and what is just and so on and so forth, by which we are able to, you know, establish happiness in this life and in the hereafter. So that is the greatest blessing above and beyond everything else. This now takes us to question number 78. And this question is, هل سميت جميع الكتب في القرآن? Have all of the names of the books been mentioned in the Quran? And the answer, Sheikh Hafiz rahimahullah, he says, Samallahu minha fi al-Quran. Allah mentioned some of them in the Quran. From them are At-Tawrat, Wal-Injil, Wal-Zubur, Wal-Suhufa Ibrahim, Wal-Musa, Wal-Dhakar al-Baqi, Jumlatan. He says that Allah mentioned some of them in the Quran specifically, such as the Torah, the Injil, the Zabur, the scrolls of Abraham and Moses, Ibrahim and Musa. And as for the rest, he mentioned them in general sense, in a general sense. So he said, فَقَالَ تَعَالَى اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومُ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَأَنزَلَ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ. Allah, there is none worthy of worship except He, the ever-living, the sustainer, the ever-living, and the sustainer of everything. He revealed upon you the book in truth, confirming that which came before it, and He revealed the Torah and the Injil. And likewise He said in another ayah, وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا. We gave to Dawood the Zabur. And He said also, تَعَالَى أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. Have you not been informed of that which is in the scrolls of Moses and Ibrahim, who fulfilled his covenant? And likewise, in another ayah, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. We have indeed sent our messengers with clear evidences, and we revealed with them the book, meaning the scripture, and the balance, the mizan, the book and the balance, meaning the balance of justice, so that mankind may abide, may conduct their affairs with each other, bilqist, meaning with justice. So, فَمَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمَا مِنْهَا تَفْصِيلًا وَجَبَ عَلِينَا الْإِيمَانُ بِهِ تَفْصِيلًا وَمَا ذَكَرَ مِنْهَا إِجْمَالًا وَجَبَ عَلِينَا الْإِيمَانُ بِهِ إِجْمَالًا فَنَقُولُ فِيهِ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَرَسُولُهُ وَقُلْ آمَنْتُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ كِتَابٍ. So the Shaykh says at the end that whatever Allah has mentioned to us specifically, like the four or five books that He mentioned, it is obligatory for us to believe in that specifically. And whatever He mentioned to us in general, it is obligatory upon us to believe in that in general. And then we say exactly as we have been, as Allah commanded His Messenger to say, and say, I have believed in whatever Allah revealed of any book, min kitab, of any book. Right? So this is our general stance towards all of the books sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said, the prophets, messengers and books, that which is mentioned in the authentic hadith, 124,000 prophets, amongst which are 315 messengers. And as for the books, we know the five that are mentioned, but as for the specific number, it's not specifically or exactly known. So Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah has just a sentence to say, which is basically the same, that whatever Allah has revealed of any book, we believe in that in general, and those which are mentioned specifically, then we believe in it specifically. And as for Sheikh Al-Fawzan Hafidhullah, there's some commentary from him on this, and he says that from the foundations of believing in the books which Allah revealed upon His messengers in order to guide mankind, then we say that Allah revealed His books, they are from His speech and His revelation and His legislation, right? So every revealed book is His kalam and is wahi and is tashri'ah. It is His speech, it is revelation that comes down by different means. Either it is direct speech, or it is by way of an angel, or it is inspired to a prophet, whichever way. So there's Allah's kalam, it is Allah's wahi, it is Allah's tashri'ah. It is His legislation, which comes with commands and prohibitions and laws. So Allah reveals this to His messengers for them to convey to their nations. For them to convey to their nations, and within them are commands, within them are prohibitions, and within them are other legislations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, so this is in a general sense what we believe about the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how Allah sends His guidance to mankind. And as you can see, the three pillars of belief after Allah, it is belief in Allah, belief in His angels, belief in His books, and belief in His messengers. Right? And there's a sequence there. The angels are the messengers who communicate His revelation, in this case Jibreel alayhi salam, and they bring down His books. And those books are then given to the messengers. The messengers convey to the rest of mankind. And this is how Allah Azzawajal has imparted guidance to men. It is by way of the angels among the it is by way of the messengers among the angels, and then the messengers among the men to whom He chooses, and to whom He reveals His speech, His revelation, His legislation. And therefore, the only way to know Allah and His guidance and His law is by way of the prophets and by way of the messengers. And hence, anybody who is not following or does not believe in and does not follow the prophets and messengers, the last and final of which is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he is misguided and he is upon disbelief. It is not possible for the so-called philosophers and the so-called thinkers and the so-called mystics and the so-called, you know, all these different types of people that we see, if you look at them each one by one, the philosophers, they are just misguided, wandering astray people. Most of the time, these philosophers, their philosophy is influenced by their own personal experiences in their life, the good and the bad of it. And so they try to develop lifestyle philosophies in which they, you know, establish certain principles, such as, for example, you know, some of them say that whatever maximizes human happiness and pleasure, that should be the guiding principle in life. Then they develop an entire philosophy and a lifestyle around that principle. And others may say that the reduction of human suffering, that is the guiding principle of all law, right? Of all, you know, whatever. And then they make that to be, and then they construct a whole lifestyle and a system or a law or rules. But they are misguided because the flaws in this become apparent when you see that when people act upon these philosophies or these lifestyle, you know, philosophies, you only see the effects of it after generations and generations and generations, when you see the evil effects of these philosophies. So like for example, right now in the Western European nations, you see that many of their philosophies that they adhere to were outlined in the, you know, 17th, 18th, 19th centuries by all of their philosophers, which shaped the nature of their society, their law, their culture, right? So you can mention all these different philosophers from Europe, different types of philosophers, and you see the effect that it has on society, right? This is so these people are you know, they this is misguidance. These are not the source of guidance. Likewise, people who are, you know, mystics or people who are, right? All of this, you cannot be upon guidance except by way of the prophets and messengers, right? And anyone who claims that we are enlightened and, you know, we are illuminated, you know, by the sciences and by philosophy and whatever, well, just look at your society and, you know, say that to us with a straight face, that you are, you know, it can't be true. The only way to guidance, illumination, truth, justice, you know, just law, and it can only be by way of what Allah revealed, of His guidance through the prophets and messengers by way of revealed books. So the Shaykh goes on to say after that, after mentioning this brief little point about that the books are what Allah revealed, they are His kalam, His wahi, His tashri', and they are sent to messengers to convey to the rest of mankind, in which there are commands and prohibitions and other laws. So he says, among them are those which Allah mentioned in the Quran, and among them are those which He did not mention, as we've already mentioned. But we believe in all of the books in a general sense, and whatever Allah has not mentioned, then or whatever Allah has mentioned in a specific sense, we believe in them: the Torah of Moses, the Injil of Isa alayhi salam, and the Quran upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Zabur upon Dawood alayhi salam, and the scrolls of Ibrahim and Musa. We believe in all of them, that they were revealed for the benefit, for the maslaha, for the beneficial interest of mankind, and for the guidance of mankind, and also as iqamatul hujjah. Iqamatul hujjah. So all the revealed books, they are establishment of the proof against mankind. Right? It is Allah establishing His proof amongst mankind so that they have no excuse and claim that they did not receive guidance and claim that they did not know. Nobody can claim that, because people know the names of the prophets and messengers, people know of the past revealed books and the Quran, which is the last book. So this cuts off the excuse of mankind. They cannot claim ignorance. They had the ability to know, they had the means to know, they had the means and the incentives to pursue guidance, but they didn't. So there's no excuse. And all of these books, we believe in all of them. Whoever believes in some of them and disbelieves in others, then he has disbelieved in all of them. Right? You cannot be a believer in some books and a disbeliever in other books, because all of them are from the book of Allah. All of them are from the Kitab. The Kitab. The Kitab, in a general sense, covers all scriptures. So you can't. So therefore, all these scriptures, the Quran, the Injil, the Torah, they're all from the Kitab. You can't believe in one and disbelieve, or believe in some and disbelieve in others. And why? Because they are from the Kalam of Allah, the Shaykh says. And he mentions the ayah in the Quran, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Do you believe in some of the book and disbelieve in other parts of it? Or in some of the book and disbelieve in other parts of it? What is the recompense of the one who does that amongst you except disgrace in the life of the world? Right? So we can't distinguish between different books. Likewise, within a single book, it is obligatory to believe in all of the book. So we don't take some of it which agrees with our desires that I will do this, I will pray and do these obligations. But as for this, you know, this being unlawful, then I can't abide by that. Right? I will pray and fast, but I can't leave drink, alcohol. You know, I will do this and this, but this is to believe in part of the book, and you know, to disbelieve in part of the book. Right? And so we're not allowed to do that. This would constitute disbelief as well. You can't accept some of it and reject other parts of it. Sheikh goes on to say, فَمَنْ جَهَدَ كِتَابًا مِنْ كُتُبِ اللَّهِ أَوْ بَعْدًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ أَوْ كَلِمَةً مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. أو حرفا من الكتاب فهو كافر بالله عز وجل. Whoever rejects or denies a book among the books of Allah, or something from the book, or a word from the book, or even a letter from the book, then he is a disbeliever in Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the end of question 78. And this brings us to question number 79. In question 79, the question is ما معنى الإيمان ما معنى الإيمان بكتب الله عز وجل. What is the meaning of having faith in the books of Allah عز وجل. So we'll read through it inshallah, and then we'll leave the commentary for the next lesson. So the Sheikh says معناه التصديق الجازم بأن جميعها منزل من عند الله عز وجل وأن الله تكلم بها حقيقة فمنها المسموع منه تعالى من وراء حجاب بدون واسطة الرسول الملكي ومنها ما بلغه الرسول الملكي إلى الرسول البشري ومنها ما كتبه الله تعالى بيده. Right, so again, this is something that is already, the answers already appeared in the previous commentary. But the Shaykh here summarizes for us, what does it mean to believe in the books of Allah? He says it means to have firm, resolute belief that all of them are sent down by Allah, that they are from Allah, Azza wa Jal, and that He spoke them in reality, meaning Allah actually spoke these words that are in the scrolls of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the scrolls of Musa alayhi salam, and in the Torah of Musa alayhi salam, and the Zabur of Dawood alayhi salam, and the Injil of Isa alayhi salam, and the Quran of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, that all of these are the actual spoken word of Allah. Allah actually spoke these words. And from these books are those that were heard from Allah without any angel in between, and from them are those that were conveyed to a messenger by an angel through a messenger which is an angel to a messenger which is a man, and others are those which Allah wrote with His hand. Right, so this Allah's revelation has come in different ways to different prophets and messengers. And these are some of the ways in which it has come. In Surah Ash-Shura, Surah 42, verse 51, Allah mentions, وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا وَحْيًا أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ أَوْ يُرْسِلَ رَسُولًا فَيُوحِيَ بِإِذْنِهِ مَا يَشَاءُ. It is not for any man that Allah should speak to him except by way of wahi, revelation, or from behind a veil, or that he should send a messenger, meaning a messenger from the angels, to reveal by his permission whatever he wishes to be revealed. Right? In this ayah, some of the ways of Allah sending down his revelation are mentioned. Likewise, Allah said to Musa alayhi salam, إِنِّي اصْطَفَيْتُكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ بِرِسَالَاتِي وَبِكَلَامِي. Indeed, I have chosen you over the people for my messages and my words. Right? وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And Allah spoke to Musa directly. This is direct speech which Musa heard directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى فِي شَأْنِ التَّوْرَاةِ. Allah said about the Torah, وَكَتَبْنَا لَهُ فِي الْأَلْوَاحِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَوْئِذَةً وَتَفْصِيلًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That we wrote for him in the alwah, in the tablets, of everything, of every admonition and detail of everything. And about Isa, وَقَالَ فِي عِيسَى وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْإِنْجِيلِ. And we gave to him the Injil. And he said also, وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا. We gave to Dawood the Zabur. And وَقَالَ تَعَالَى فِي شَأْنِ الْقُرْآنِ. And as for the Qur'an, لَكِنِ اللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ إِلَيْكَ وأنزله بعلمه والملائكة يشهدون وكفى بالله شهيدا. And as for the Quran, there are many ayat. However, Allah witnesses by way of that which He revealed to you. He revealed it with His knowledge, and the angels also witness, and sufficient is Allah as a witness. وقال تعالى, He also said, وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثٍ وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ تَنْزِيلًا. So he says, and the Quran, we have split or divided, meaning in parts, so that you may read it to the people like, you know, like piecemeal. And we revealed it as a revelation. وقال تعالى, he also said, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْذِرِينَ. And indeed, it is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds. It was brought down, a Ruhul Amin, the sanctified spirit came down with it upon your heart, that you may be from those who warn, from the warners. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and then he also mentions another ayah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالذِّكْرِ لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ وَإِنَّهُ لَكِتَابٌ عَزِيزٌ لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدِيهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٌ. Indeed, those who disbelieve in the reminder when it comes to them, and indeed it is a mighty book. Falsehood cannot approach it neither from behind, from in front, nor from behind. It is a revelation from the All-Wise, the All-Praiseworthy. Right, so these are all of the ayat. And the Shaykh, he's explained, what does it mean to believe in the books of Allah? In a nutshell, what he said was that we believe firmly and resolutely that all of these books that I mentioned, it is Allah who sent them down. It is Allah who spoke them. Right? He spoke them, and He spoke them and revealed that in different ways, sometimes by way of an angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, sometimes by way of inspiration or revelation, meaning that He inspires to a prophet or a messenger in his heart, that he, you know, the words are conveyed to him through that way. Other times it is through direct speech, as occurred with Musa alayhi salam. Other times it is Allah Himself writes it down. And so these are some of the different ways. So we believe that these are the different ways that Allah sent His revelation. And then the Shaykh went on to mention all the ayat, mentioning each of the revelations that are mentioned specifically by name. And then he mentioned verses to do with the Quran. And so in respect to all of that, when we put all of that together, it kind of summarizes the essence of the belief in the revealed books. So inshallah, we'll stop at this point. We'll continue with the commentary upon this answer in the next lesson. And inshallah, we will conclude our discussion. In fact, we will start speaking about the Qur'an specifically and some of the details to do with the Qur'an being the uncreated speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at this point, we've looked at belief in the books in general, how we ought to believe in the books, what are the aspects of believing and acting upon the book, and the last of which is the Qur'an. So in what follows, we will be looking at the Qur'an specifically and it being the uncreated speech of Allah, and issues to do with, you know, reciting it and following it, and so on and so forth. So we'll conclude our lesson there for today. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.